This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. What's next for North Carolina's 9th District? Prosecutors have indicted political operative McCray Dowless on charges related to the 2016 and 2018 elections. Republican Mark Harris appeared to beat Democrat Dan McCready by just more than 900 votes, but the election was never certified. Last week, the North Carolina State Board of Elections unanimously called for a new election in the 9th Congressional District after 4 days of hearings into suspected fraud. Michael Bitzer is a professor of politics and history at Catawba College and joins us now. Welcome back, Michael.
Always good to be with you.
So do we know who's running in this election?
I think we have a fairly good idea who is going to be the Democratic nominee. And again, that's going to be Dan McCready. I would be surprised if anybody really challenges him, except for maybe a token candidate. I think, you know, the U.S. House Democrats are probably clearing the field for him to have an uncontested primary. The real question is going to be on the Republican side. As you noted, Mark Harris is not going to be running again. Pat McCrory took himself out of contention. And we have folks like Tommy Tucker, a former state senator from Union County, Stoney Rushing, who actually got an endorsement by Mark Harris, who is a Union County commissioner. We've heard from David Blackwelder, who is in actually Wake County, former county commissioner there. He's going to be vying for the seat. We could have potential candidates like Matthew Ridenour, who is a former county commissioner out of Mecklenburg, and Kenny Smith, who ran for mayor of Charlotte, potentially jump in as well. So my bet is this is going to be a crowded Republican field when we get to the primary election.
Yeah, and apparently will not include U.S. Representative Robert Pittenger, who lost the primary, and that's one of the contested races. Why do you suppose he's not running again?
My understanding is he has already landed himself a business involvement and engagement, and I think he's very much, you know, kind of taken himself out of politics at this point in time and kind of concentrating on his private sector engagement in business.
So with all that has happened here and all the controversy, this is a national news story. We're on the front page of the New York Times daily and, you know, other national media as well. Is there a chance that this could become a Democratic district?
You know, I wouldn't put anything past special elections, particularly in this environment, partly due to the president's approval rating. That could potentially be a weight on a future Republican candidate. But the district itself is pretty solidly Republican, even though you may be looking at voter registration that says 37% are registered Democrats. The vast majority of those folks outside of Mecklenburg County are rural registered Democrats who are likely Republican voters. So the key question in my mind is, with 60% of all the registered voters in that district coming from Mecklenburg and Union County, the high likelihood is those are the candidates coming out of the primaries, and that's really where the contest may be decided.
Though I wonder, because even without all of this news and information about Republican voter fraud alleged in this election, even without that, Mark Harris only won by 900 votes, and that's practically the number of votes contested here. So it seemed a lot closer than it should have been in that district.
I would agree with you. You have to remember that last year in 2018, it was a very pro-Democratic, you know, in some camps and some states, it was a Democratic wave year. The Democratic wave was pretty high here in North Carolina, but not high enough to overcome the gerrymandering in all of these congressional districts. And it made the ninth very competitive. The one thing I would quibble with is this wasn't voter fraud, it was ballot fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real concern of distinction between the two. But, you know, a Republican is going to have to face that criticism of, you know, well, is your campaign engaging in things like this? And that's going to be the first question that they are going to have to distance themselves. And certainly Democrats are going to be rallying behind Dan McCready. He's already got got $500,000 in a war chest, I think all the other Republicans are basically starting from scratch to get a significant war chest up and running.
It is more than a quibble. You are very right to point it out and make that very important correction, because that it is fraud having to do with absentee ballots not addressed in the first version of the illegal voter ID law passed by the Republican legislature. It took a Democratic amendment, did it not, to address absentee ballots, which is absolutely the point in contest, because there was very little fraud on the other side that was addressed in that first bill, overturned because it is racially motivated, according to the courts, and right, a deliberate effort to repress the black vote.
Right. And you know, when we hear people like the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell try to equate what is illegal in North Carolina but legal in California, you know, he uses the term voter fraud and asks, where are my Democratic colleagues to stand up to this? Well, in actuality, it is ballot fraud. It is election fraud when somebody tries to take a legal voter's legal ballot and manipulate or potentially destroy that ballot from influencing and impacting the election. If you're talking about voter fraud, which is minuscule, you're talking about somebody trying to negate or get involved, perhaps not registered, to try and influence. This is a very different issue and concern about absentee by mail ballots.
Yeah, let's listen to Mitch McConnell earlier this week.
Now, Madam President, for years and years, every Republican who dared to call for common sense safeguards for Americans' ballots was demonized by Democrats and their allies. We were hit with left-wing talking points insisting that voter fraud wasn't real. Never happens, they said. Well, that fraud just didn't happen. That modest efforts to ensure that voters who are who they say they are and are voting in the proper place were really some sinister right-wing plot to prevent people from voting.
Sadly, that's exactly what the courts found. But let's talk more about the other part of that, because there had been a great deal of research into the kind of fraud that that McConnell calls common sense, and in fact, there was none there.
Yeah, I mean, the issue of voter fraud is when somebody tries to impersonate or perhaps is not legally registered to cast a ballot to influence an election. Every political science study, even federal reports, have documented that that is fairly small in terms of the absolute numbers in terms of voter fraud. What is more of an issue is ballot fraud, when someone is trying to take a legally registered voter's legal ballot and influence, manipulate, or perhaps destroy that particular ballot to keep it from influencing the election. I think, you know, a U.S. Election Assistance Commission study said that is more prevalent, and things like voter ID would not have impacted or prevented what happened in terms of what was going on in Bladen County and Robeson County by the actions of McRae Dallas and others.
Yeah. So what do you think now? What kind of timeline are we looking at for this new election?
Well, we're potentially looking at three separate elections. We got to start with a primary that has about a week probably of candidate filing, 2 weeks for ballot testing and making sure that the ballots are printed. Then you have to add on 45 to 46 days for those ballots to be mailed overseas by federal law to voters who are registered. And during that time period, have the absentee by mail, have the absentee in person, then have the general election, then have 10 days for certification and making sure that the results are proper. That's just for the primary election. If a candidate doesn't get 30% of the vote in the primary, it goes to a second primary. You do that whole calendar over again. Finally, after that, we get to a general election. do that full time period as well, we could be looking at late summer, early fall for the general election.
And as you point out, there may have been a Democratic wave in the midterms, but this is going to be in the middle of nowhere, right? This is a special election.
Oh, yeah.
So voter turnout is going to be an issue in this special election, will it not?
Yeah, I mean, we saw in 2018 almost a record of the midterm elections here in North Carolina with about 53% voter turnout. That is huge. My bet would probably be in the 20s to 30s because you're dealing with a summertime election. You're dealing with people that are in a very specific district. It's going to get media coverage, but probably there's going to be a significant drop-off in voter turnout.
Who bears the cost for all of this?
The counties do. And that's part of the question as well. You know, some counties like Mecklenburg County will be holding city elections for the city of Charlotte. Does the state board on Monday try to finalize an election calendar that lines up with those local elections? That'll be in November for the general election. Or do they have a separate calendar, a separate set of elections at a different time? That means counties like Mecklenburg and Union are basically going to be running two separate elections at two separate times, one of which was not probably budgeted in last year's budget for the county.
Michael Bitzer, a professor of politics and history at Catawba College. Always a pleasure. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just ahead, she went a year without plastic, at least single-use plastic. We're going to talk to artist and author Brian Holsenbeck on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.